Napa know-how.
A Napa guy knows the only way you'd give a fresh and minted driver a brand new car is if he promises to never drive it. Instead, let him grind the gears and knock over the neighbor's mailbox in something a little more suited to his skill level. And with over 500,000 parts and a little Napa know-how, he can safely drive something that's nearly as old as he is. It's not perfect, but it's perfect for him. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings from the Darkness is an eclectic collection of writings by a talented and diverse group of writers and published authors in dedication of and in support of our dearest friend, the award-winning and best-selling author Yvonne Mason and her son. All sales of this anthology, present and future, are donated to her in support of her son, who at the time of this publication has been ill and out of work and struggling to support his family due to an undiagnosed illness. Yvonne has been an inspiration, selflessly supportive, and a dear friend to many aspiring writers and indie authors. She believes in paying it forward, offering her knowledge and insights and friendship to kindred souls. Yvonne has a saying, she threatens to let loose the flying monkeys when there is wrongness in the lives of those near and dear to her. So after bringing us together for a successful and fun-filled double anthology by Yvonne, including notable authors and first-time published writers, and after learning about the continued troubles of her son and his family, we came together as such monkeys to fly free, far, and wide in what we do best, G.L. Lentz. This book can be purchased at Amazon.com, Amazon Kindle, Barnes & Noble, and www.blackbedsheetbooks.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Friday night, and those of you all that know, this is Off the Chain. I'm your host, Yvonne Mason, and of course that was a piece of shameless promotion, but there's a reason for that other than it's shameless promotion. My son is ill, and we do not know what is wrong with him, and he was a truck driver for over 20 years, made very good money, and now he can no longer do that because of the illness. And his wife, bless her heart, just got out of the hospital, and she can't work for a while because she had a flare-up of lupus and then got MRSA, and it's just been a big mess. So I am asking for my listening audience to go on Amazon and buy Blessings from the Darkness. It's horror stories, it's scary stories, and it's written by a whole group of friends of mine who, when they found out about my son, surprised me with this anthology. I don't get any of the money. It all goes to my children because that's what we do. We take care of our own. So go on Amazon and pull up Blessings from the Darkness, and you can download it, or you can buy the paperback version, and then the money will go to them, and maybe they won't have to struggle so much. And that was Victor Aurelius that did the ad. He is another one of my ad people, and I really, really do appreciate him because he made that book sing. Ladies and gentlemen, this show is not even a year old. It will be a year old on July the 27th. Our very first show last July was called The Legacy. And my goal at that time was to get 10,000 listeners. Well, I've surpassed that. Now my goal is for 15,000 listeners, and we're very close. We are heard all over the world in places I've never even heard of before, which astounds me because I never thought when I started this show to help artists and others succeed that we would have such a vast listening audience. We're heard in Canada, and that's where my guest is from tonight. We're heard in Germany and Korea and Egypt and Ecuador, the UK, of course the USA, the Russian Federation of all places, Indonesia, Singapore, Australia. And Australia is our biggest listener base. And I always give a shout-out to my Aussie friends because they make 72% of my listening base. Ireland, Tunisia, New Zealand, Taiwan, Brazil, Pakistan, India, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Portugal, Hungary, Bulgaria, Norway, the Ukraine, Vietnam of all places, Finland, Sweden, Peru, France, the Philippines, Argentina, Mexico, Croatia, Venezuela, The Democratic Republic of the Congo. Never heard of them. The Guyana, the Netherlands, Spain. Azerbaijan. Never heard of it. Beautiful place. Malaysia, St. Lucia, Lebanon, and Kenya. And with a reach like that, we cannot help but succeed because, gracious me, over 12,000 listeners and they're all over the world. So my guests are succeeding because they're heard all over the world. And with that being said, tonight's guest, I told you, is from Ontario, Canada. Her name is Allison Knight, and she is Filipino, beautiful, beautiful girl. I'm going to adopt her. Her parents are both Filipino. They met in Canada, and she was born at St. John's, Newfoundland in Canada. She has one sister, and they share a birthday, and that story in itself is just hysterical. Allison is older, and she has two children. She doesn't look like she's old enough to even be out of high school, much less have a daughter 28 and a son 22. She is a paranormal investigator. She's also a writer, director, and an actor, and she also models, and I can understand why. Her favorite type of movies are horrors, and then action, thriller, and then comedies. Allison, thank you so much for joining me tonight and spending an hour with me. We've
thank
had a lovely
much.
Conversation before we even got started. It was so exciting.
Yes, we did.
And in fact, if my guys, if my bands, Diogger and Cypher, happen to listen to this show, Allison's going to hook up with you because she's from your neck of the woods and she wants to talk to you about some things. So there's a little bit of shameless promotion, and I'm going to send her your way after the show. Allison,
so.
Absolutely, because their music is right up your alley. How did you get where you are? I mean, you're an actor, you are a writer, a director, you do paranormal investigations. Was this on your bucket list as a child, or did you fall into most of it?
Well, sometimes I wonder how I definitely wonder how I got where I am right now. It just seems like I just landed where I did. When I was little, actually the first time I saw a ghost, I kind of have flashbacks about it. I was 6 years old, and that's the first time I saw one. But I didn't think I would end up being a paranormal investigator. That's kind of a dream, really. It just seems so surreal. It's scary, but it's exciting for me. I was never really good in school. I didn't have very many friends. I still don't. It just happened. I was a paranormal investigator first, and then I became a writer, director. That happened second. And now I can't stop writing movies. It's just coming out. I'm on my sixth movie right now, writing a movie.
Wow. Well,
when
you saw
happening.
The ghost at 6 years old,
mm-hmm.
Were you afraid? Were you curious? Did you feel like you might know them? Because, like you, I believe that there are others with us. There's spirits around
right.
us all the time. There were some in my old
exactly.
house. And I never
yep.
was afraid of them because
when I was
they didn't want to hurt me.
There's different types, but when I was six, it's called like the deer in headlights. So I was frozen. I couldn't move. And I saw this lady, and she was kind of glowing in white. And I knew that one couldn't hurt me because all I could do was just stare, and I was just frozen. And I couldn't move until she kind of disappeared. And when she disappeared, I was kind of like, I was just able to I was like kind of let go and able to move and go away. But there are others that are not so friendly. There's the ghosts, the spirits, the guardian angels. Those ones are okay. There's the negative ones, which are the ones that are not okay. Like the entities, the demons, and whatnot. Those are the ones that you have to look out for.
When was your next experience with an entity or a ghost? How old were you?
I was 13. Something negative was happening at that time. I don't know if I really want to go too deep into it.
You don't have to.
No. But you can probably imagine a 13-year-old who was a virgin, and then it was kind of first time, but not a really good experience. Then this entity kind of went into me, and it wasn't a good entity. I was, as you can say, possessed, and for years, from 13 about 43, I heard in my head a different voice other than mine to kill yourself, kill yourself, kill yourself. And I, from 13 to about 43, I was trying to kill myself, and I couldn't die because I had my parents or other guardian angels trying to not have my soul go to that other dark, that soul would go to that dark place.
Right.
That entity was trying to take.
Well, let me ask you this. Once you started, when did you start doing paranormal investigations?
A couple of years ago.
And once you started doing those investigations, did that help you become grounded again, and that entity decide that it was wasting its time, so went to find someplace else to live?
Well, that entity left before I started the paranormal. I had this counselor who really knew what he was doing about the entities, guardian angels, and he taught me a lot about the entities and the negative stuff. He told me about sage and sweet grass and a lot about the negative. You got to get rid of this. And he was able to actually get rid of that that entity. So I thought at that time he did for a bit, but it came back. But anyways, he was able to get rid of it at that time, that counselor. He was really good. But while I was doing the paranormal, it taught me a lot more about the entities and the demons and other things. I've learned a lot about the paranormal. There's a lot more, actually, than entities and ghosts and spirits and whatnot. Aliens are also part of paranormal too as well. It's not just ghosts and spirits and entities and demons and whatnot. There's a lot involved.
As you've grown and matured and gotten into doing your investigations, do you find yourself more grounded and more resilient in being able to handle all that's thrown at you?
Mm-hmm. But not only that, it's like people are, I'm just picturing it now. I just saw it in my head just right now. It's like everybody's in a box.
Uh-huh.
But when you become a paranormal investigator, it's like you come outside of a box and you just see a whole different world of more. It's just very, it's like, wow, there's all this. Whereas everybody, I would say, not, I mean, there's mediums, there's psychics and who are out of the box. So I would say like some people who don't know are in the box, and then all of the other people who know more are out of the box. And that's how I'm picturing it right now to explain what you just asked to give you a better
picture.
Well,
and the reason I ask is because knowledge is power.
Exactly.
And people that don't have the knowledge, they mm-hmm. fear things they don't understand. And once you understand that, whatever it
mm-hmm.
is that you didn't understand before, it's easier to deal with and easier
yes.
to come to grips with. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a huge fair statement, actually. That's exactly right. Knowledge is power. But, I mean, there is still fear. But for me, I'll give you another example. My uncle died just recently, and I was with my family on that side, and I was talking to my cousins, and they also saw the ghost that I was talking about. And I told my cousins that I'm a paranormal investigator now, and I'm still scared, but I still do what I do. And my cousin's like, well, I could not do what you do because I'm scared and I saw the ghost and there's no way I could do what you're doing. I don't know if – I think I just went on a little tangent there.
No,
but,
that makes perfect sense because your cousin
yeah.
didn't have the knowledge to understand
right.
the who, what, when, where, and how.
Right, so he's
and,
still in that box. He just doesn't
right.
want to – because he doesn't have that knowledge. He wants to stay in the box, and he still wants to stay, even though he's scared. And I'm scared, but I have the knowledge, and I still do what I do. So.
And with
yeah.
and with and that knowledge is like your suit of armor that you carry with you when you're
mm-hmm.
out there, because you know that even though there may be entities out there and you're investigating them, they may act like they own you, but they really don't, because you're a stronger person now.
Right. Or I know things that I can do to protect
right.
myself. Or right, right.
And that, therefore, they hold no power. And we always fear that. My anagram for fear is false evidence that appears real. And we always fear that which we don't understand or we can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that just like here on Earth, there's good and there's evil. That's the nature of the beast. It is what it is. And also, like you, I believe that out there is good and evil. Because just because an evil person leaves this world doesn't make them any less evil.
That's right.
But I also know that evil entity holds no sway over me, because they can't hurt me. They think they can, but they can't hurt me. They can't touch me because I'm more powerful and I have more knowledge and I know how to say, just go bother somebody else because I'm over you. I'm done with you. Move on. And they just
they can only hurt you if you think they can hurt you.
Exactly.
But if you think that they have the power. If you think you have the power, then they can't hurt you. But that's exactly what you're saying is exactly right.
And so when and they, it's because they think they're not finished yet on Earth, and maybe they don't want to go to the bad place, but they
mm-hmm.
are. They need to just go away and be done and stop wreaking havoc on Earth because we don't need them here anymore, so they can just go and do their own thing wherever they're going to go and stay there. Now, on the other hand, the guardian angels and the entities that are filled with love still and think they still have a purpose,
mm-hmm.
they have saved my life a time or two when I've fallen asleep driving.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
and woken me up, or whispered in my ear, or touched the back of my neck, and you know, you come awake with a shock because you're the only one in the car, and you wonder, mm-hmm. if I lost my mind. But they do that.
Yes. The guardian angels. Yep.
On some of your investigations, have you found more positive entities as opposed to not so positive entities, or has it been sort of equal?
I wish actually that would have been a good idea if I had like a tally board, but I haven't, because it's more of like a whatever happens happens, and I'm more of in a adrenaline type, got to deal with these situations as they come type thing. Because I'm just dealing with the situations, like I said, as they come. And I wish I had a time to, like, check off, like, you know how when you do the ticks as, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you cross it off in 5, and, like, okay, that's the bad guys, and then that's the good guys. But I really can't say the numbers as to, you know what, though? I'm having a flashback in my head again. I'm seeing, like, the picture again in my head. I'm thinking like I've seen, hate to say this, but more of, I don't want to say this because you've got the listeners, right? But if we were just talking, if it was just you and me just talking and you just asked me that question, do you want me to answer it like that? Yeah?
Yeah, because it is just you and me.
Okay. So it's, really, I've dealt with more of the evil. I have to tell you honestly, that's more of what I've dealt with.
And I can understand that because they don't want to go to the bad place. They want to stay here because it's worse there than it was here. And that doesn't frighten me. I find it interesting because they are trying to justify not leaving, and there's no justification. It's time for them to go. Just
okay, that makes sense.
Go
then.
Take your punishment.
I felt kind of bad to say something like that. I felt like I didn't want to say it. I almost like it was almost hard to say because I don't know.
It is. It's true.
Yeah.
They need to go and take their punishment, and they don't want to.
Right. And so, therefore, they'd rather play with us, like people, than go to their place of punishment, as you say.
Exactly.
And so, therefore, that's what I'm finding. And then people are saying, like, what I get calls are is, like, I'm hearing banging sounds, and my electricals are going on and off. So they're playing with all these things and people instead of going to their place.
Right.
Right?
And it's not because it's not because they're lonely. It's because they know that the fires of hell are even worse than what they suffered here on earth.
That makes so much sense. Yeah.
So, and don't feel bad about explaining it that way because that's what it is. They want to go there.
Yeah, because I don't get these calls of, like, you know, finding angels flying around or anything like that. Like, I don't get these nice calls or, you know, these nice things. I wish I had that answer, but no, I don't.
You would have loved my house, Allison, because we had several at my house, and they didn't bother anybody. I had a young woman who would take the end of my grandson's crib and shake it because she wanted him to go to sleep. Trouble is, she woke him up because he's already asleep. And he would point to her. He saw her.
Mm-hmm.
And when my daughter moved out and took my grandson with her, she called me one day and she says, "Mama, Cherokee saw a man." I said, "Okay, what did he look like?" And she said, "Well, I said, "Well, tell me what Cherokee said." And she says, "Well, he said, 'Mama, do you see?'" And he was little. He was maybe 5 or 6. She says, "Mama, do you see that man over there in that corner?" And she said, "What man, Cherokee?" He said, "That man in that corner." And she said, "Explain me what he looks like." And he says, "Well, he's got on this long black coat and he's got on this black top hat." And I said, well, Brandy, that's his guardian angel. I says, he's been taking care of Cherokee ever since he lived with me. I says, and he's followed him to with you because he takes care of him. I said, don't discount him. She says, I'm not. I just wanted to make sure whose side he was on.
I said,
he won't hurt him. I says, he's protecting him. So just when Cherokee tells you he sees the man's there to look after him. But we had several that would wander around in the house in the middle of the night and
do
things.
Oh, I would have loved that.
You would have had a ball.
Yeah.
It was an absolute amazing experience.
What I get is I went to an investigation last night, actually, and I found a demon. How'd I know it was a demon? I had an Ouija board out, and I had a guy and me on the board asked for the name. It took a while, and I'm like, just give me your name. So it spelled a name, but it wasn't like Bob or George or whatever. I'm not going to spell the whole name out because you don't do that.
You don't want to bring him back.
That's conjuring it. Yeah. So
yeah.
It was H N U, and I'm not going to do the rest. So if they're not like B-O-B or G-O-R, whatever, like a real name, if you can't spell out the name, it's not human. And then I asked, are you a demon? And it blatantly said yes, because it wasn't a name. So we went to this, it was a cabin, and they were saying, you know, there's something going on or whatever. And the guy was saying, but we're good, we're okay. Right when I walked in, my heart, my chest was pounding. I felt like there were butterflies, but butterflies on roller coasters. So it was just, my arms were shaking, my hands were shaking. And I was just like, there's something in here. And there's just other things that go on when I go on investigations.
But it's like you say, it's like an adrenaline rush, and you couldn't stop it if you tried.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that leads me to your writing and your directing.
Yeah.
Your first movie, Mercy Love, is based off one of the experiences that happened to you, correct?
Yes, true story.
Do you want to go into it a little bit?
Yes. Okay. So what happened was I went to this tavern, and I was just sitting there, and I felt like I think I should do an investigation at this tavern. So I took out one of my cards, and I looked behind me, and the owner of the tavern was standing at the bar. And I said, actually, I was just tapping on my business card. I was feeling nervous for some reason, but I was like, I'm just going to ask him. So I asked the owner, I'd like to do a investigation here. And he just laughed at me. He's like, investigation? I don't believe in those things. And I was like, okay, well, I turned around, went to walk away. He's like, hey, wait a second. I'm like, what? He's like, what do you do? Just walk around? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how much does it cost? I'm like, nothing. He's like, okay, if you're just going to walk around. So I gave him my card, and then we made a date to do an investigation. So at the tavern, I found a couple things upstairs and one big, huge thing on the basement. And I got possessed. Something happened. I found a witch, and she wanted me to stay, and I didn't. She followed me home, and things changed after that. Like, some weird stuff happened, crazy things. So from there, I wanted to go on other investigations, but things were kind of halted. Things stopped. I just couldn't go on investigations. People were like saying no, or things were weird. So then I thought, I'm going to make a movie out of this. And I heard, make a movie. So I made a movie. I didn't want to use her name. Again, it's a name thing. You just don't use the name. The Conjuring uses the demons' names, and I heard that things happen if you watch the movie. Call me crazy, but it's true. You don't use the demons' names.
So that's why you call the movie Mercy Love?
Well, I'm Mercy Love, but the witch's name, I'm not going to say the witch's name, but the witch's name is Charlotte in the movie, but her real name is not Charlotte.
Right.
She wanted me to use her real name, but I was just like, no, we are not using your real name, but we are going to make the movie because she wanted me to. But I was like, I couldn't do any more investigations for some reason. I was like blocked. I want to do investigation there. No, I can't. I want to do investigation there. No, I can't. I was like, what is going on? So then all I heard was like, make a movie, make a movie. And then all of a sudden, as a writer-director, I'm a writer-director. And then all of a sudden, in 2 weeks, I made like 4 movies. All of a sudden, 4 movies came out of my head or wherever, and I'm making movies. I didn't know what was going on. It was just weird.
Well,
and now I'm on my sixth movie.
I know you're movie crazy here.
Movie crazy. I don't know, I caught the bug or something.
What is Mercy Love about? What is the basis of the synopsis of the movie, if you will?
Okay, the movie is about Mercy Love is a paranormal investigator, and she goes to a tavern, and she finds this witch. So it's everything just what happened. And she gets possessed. And everything that happens to this paranormal investigator, to like how when she gets possessed, what happens to her, how her life changes. And then the witch, how she died. The witch shows her how she died, like the witch hunt. And then actually, so also the witch, I don't want to give it all, but that's a synopsis because I was just going to give away the whole movie.
Well, I don't want you to give away the whole movie. I want people to see
no,
it.
No, that was close. That was close. That was like so close. So, yeah. So she gets possessed. The witch kind of like shows her how she dies. And then the witch uses Mercy Love. But I'm not going to say how. And then also what happened too after that, there's going to be a Mercy Love Part 2, and then there's also Mercy Love Part 3 already. Like, this thing just, exploded.
And does Mercy Love encounter the same witch, or does she encounter new entities in 2 and 3?
So Mercy Love, she gets possessed. And in part one, part two is actually a prequel about when Mercy Love got possessed with the demon. When I was telling you about when I was possessed by the demon from age 13 to 43.
Uh-huh.
So it goes back to the demon.
It makes perfect sense. And because
awesome.
What it does is it tells the story as to how she got to where she was as a paranormal investigator.
Perfect.
And it takes you back. What does part three entail?
Now, part three is like the witch is like, I want to tell my story. So now part three is about the witch's story, and it's called The Witch's Story. So it's about Charlotte's story about the witch hunt, and how Charlotte died, and she has 2 sisters. So it's called the trilogy. So it's Charlotte and her 2 sisters on how they died, and how the witch hunt was about killing almost innocent people, and how like the witches were killed and maybe other people were killed too, just by saying you're a witch, and then the priest killed that person because they said that that person's a witch.
That, and that went on for years. Just
yeah, it was horrible.
And it was worldwide. It wasn't just in the United States.
Nope.
It started in Europe. In fact, I'm working on a story now, and it was even in Scotland. That's how far back
mm-hmm.
it went. I could go down to the corner tavern and say, Susie Jane's a witch, and they bring her up in front of the priest or the witch hunter or whoever, and if they decided she
just
was a witch,
just because he didn't
I
like that person.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And do you know another thing is sometimes they would be like, here's like some shillings. Joe over there is a witch. Kill him. Because you thought Joe was cheating on you or something. He's
exactly.
a witch. Kill him. And then, so in this movie, I don't know if I want to give that part away.
Don't give it away. Because you've already got my interest peak. Now your editor has got to get off his duff and get this movie done.
So
you
could
watch
do two
it.
And three. Yeah,
really?
I know.
I'm ready for it.
I know. Hey, how about everybody say, editor, finish Mercy Love.
Right. Because we've got two and three to go now. Now, you also
exactly.
have two shorts out there, right? You have
yes, I do.
Musical Mind and Saligo, I guess?
Yes. I've got the full cast of Saligo. We're all getting together April 1st, and that's not a joke. So I told the cast I'm serious. It's not a joke. I'm not saying come over and I'm not going to be here. We're all going to meet April 1st, and we're going to do the first reading, and then we're going to film the week after if the reading goes well. I have a guy who's going to dress up like a woman, just a little, I don't know, to make it interesting. But, yeah, so Lego's going to be filmed next week. And I'm not going to make the... Oh, Saligo means to make a choice in Latin.
Ah.
And it's about... Yeah, it's about... Now, I know this idea has been already done, but it's going to be different, but the same. So it's about a box, and it's about two buttons, a red button and a blue button. So imagine that somebody comes to your door and they knock on your door, you open the door, and there's a guy standing there in a suit, black suit, tie, sunglasses. And he's like, you have a choice, a blue button and a red button. And you're like, what's the catch? And he's like, well, the red button means you get a black card for unlimited money till you die. And then the blue button, you get $1 million. Like, oh, that doesn't sound too bad. Right?
But there's always a catch.
What's the catch, right?
Uh-huh.
So the catch is if you press the red button, a bunch of people die. Men, women, children, just a bunch of people die. But you get unlimited money with this card forever till you die. Not forever, but till you die. Only you can use it. If somebody gets the card and tries to use it, won't work. Only you can use it. And the blue button, if you press a blue button, only one person dies.
So you basically hold someone's life in your hand for your own self-gratification.
Yeah, but you can't say no.
You have to pick one or the other.
Yep, you can't. Like the character, he turns around, he's like, no, I can't do this. And then the guy's holding the box, he's like, I'm not leaving, you have to choose.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very
and
interesting.
And it's a short. Yeah.
And the other one, Musical Mind, what is it about?
Musical Mind is about a guy, he's married, and... The wife wants him to fix the roof. So he goes up on the roof, and then he falls off the roof and he hurts himself. He gets a concussion. And then he goes to sleep. Well, he goes to the hospital, and then he goes home. He goes to sleep and he wakes up, and his wife isn't his wife. And then, like, people that he knows in his world aren't the same people in his world. They've all changed. So imagine that, just imagine actually that when you go to sleep and you wake up, that everybody in your life is, they've all changed, like musical chairs. They've all switched. Wow. People. Everybody switched.
And they're not who
just because
you think
of
they are.
Concussion. Exactly. Well, no, they are, like, they are who they are. Like, for instance, I don't really have many people in my life, so I actually moved at the tavern, like, right beside the tavern, right beside the bar in the apartment. So the guy at the bar is not... he's like, say, the gas station guy, and the gas station guy is the guy in the bar. So they've
right.
switched places. So
interesting,
who's in your
concept.
Life? So, like, who's in your life? Like, who, I don't want to ask, but, like, who do you sleep with?
So
instance?
My husband would not be my husband. My husband might be somebody else, and that somebody else yeah. might wind up being in my bed.
Yes, exactly.
That is an interesting concept.
Yeah. And so that every time you go to sleep, you wake up, everybody switches again. Because you have
That's
this...
why you call it musical mind, because it's a game of musical mind, but it's like a game of musical chairs.
Exactly, yes. It's
wow.
a concussion called the musical mind. Yeah. A head concussion. I made this head concussion.
Like being on a merry-go-round and not seeing the same person twice.
Exactly. I don't know, just something
that
I was
is
writing.
Very interesting. That sounds like something out of the Twilight Zone.
Exactly.
I don't
yeah.
know if you ever watched the Twilight Zone, but they had weird stuff like that on the Twilight Zone. That sounds like something that Rod Sterling would write.
Yeah. I watched a lot of that, and I think that's what happened. It's just the box and that were just shorts, more like the Twilight Zone. But I wanted to make them into, like, little movies and see if I could do that.
I love it. I love
yeah.
that. Yes, you do need Cypher and Dogger. You definitely need them. Now, not only do you write, your model, your director, you're also a photographer.
Yes. Yes.
Is that something that you do all the time, or is it something you incorporate into your movies?
I know. I do it. Oh, sorry.
I was going to say a lot. I do photography too, and I go out and take shots of places where I want to set scenes in my books.
Mm-hmm.
Do you incorporate that into your movie making repertoire?
Not into the movie making, no. It's more separate. I like to do it when it hits me. When I'm like, hey, you know what, it's really nice outside, or hey, you know what, like, it just kind of, when it hits me, when the mood kind
of
hits me. When it's like,
it's
oh, the moon
like
looks really
outlet.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an outlet for you.
Yeah. Oh, I also play drums, too.
Oh, like, do you really? Oh, yeah, you
yeah.
would definitely love Dogger and Cypher.
That's what I was saying, for sure. I would totally like to.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm hooking you up with him after this show. Well, when you get Mercy Love done, if
mm-hmm.
the editor ever gets off his behind and finishes it, are you going to do a release there in where you live at say, the tavern or somewhere local where people can come in and see it and then do live on Facebook so others can see it? How do you plan on releasing it?
Yes, I'm doing a screening at the tavern where I found the witch. that's where I'm hoping to do the screening. I think that would be interesting, and I think that's where she wants me to do it.
I think it would be excellent. And then you could do Facebook Live at the same time and get people's reactions as they're watching the screening. And
yes,
I know the,
I think,
the tavern owner would love it because there's money in his pocket too.
Yeah. And I'm thinking of doing that around Halloween. And so that would be giving, that would be because it's a horror movie, I think that would be fitting. And also be giving the editor more time. So.
Well, he needs to get off of his duff and get it done so that you can start promoting it, because it's going to be October before we turn around good.
Yeah. I know.
Now,
I have to give him another message.
Yes. Look, this is my absolute drop-dead date, because we are going to do a screening on this date in October, and I have to have everything done so that we can start promoting, because you need to promote it like 3 and 4 months out to get people to watch it and to get let people on Facebook know, hey, we're going to do a Facebook Live with this, and give the tavern owner enough notice so he can stock up on alcohol and pretzels.
I think maybe I should let him know, too, about it.
I
should give him good notice. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, bring it on him at the last minute, because I'm sure he wants to bring in more chairs and tables and maybe hire an extra barmaid or something.
That would be a good idea. But you're right. Maybe I should tell him about it, because it's only in my head and my thought that I was wanting to do the screening there. I maybe I should tell him about it.
Yeah, that would. I because the night before the screening, I'm going to borrow your tavern tomorrow night. What?
Yeah. Well, especially for Halloween. Cause,
oh, absolutely. That would be so cool.
Yeah.
And that, that would give you, that's why this guy's got to get off of his butt and get this done, because we're already into almost April, and you're going to release 3 more films.
May,
you're gonna start, and see, you're going to start filming again. So you're going to need all this time to put this thing together.
Well, the thing is, what he's doing right now, his editing, it's all rough. Because on top of the editing, I still want to filter things, and then I want to put sound on top of it still. So
you need it back so you can do your thing.
Yeah.
Sit down and make yourself a timeline, Allison, and say, man, this is your drop-dead day. If you can't give it to me by then, I'm yanking this baby, because we got a screening on this day.
You got to get going.
Exactly. You want the largest crowd you can get in that tavern, plus the people on Facebook, because you want this thing to explode.
Yeah, oh, totally. Yeah,
so,
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking of the first screening, just have the cast and the crew, and if they like it, then we'll have like an open screening.
Oh, no, you should have an open screening. Go. This is what I've learned, Allison. I'm 65 years old, and this is what I've learned in the last 20 years. Go big or go home.
Oh, my gosh. I have that line in my Sulego.
Well,
movie.
There you go.
Go big or go home.
Go big or go home. Because think of it this way. If you have an open screening, you already have your cast there that can sign autographs for those who wish to have an autograph done.
Wow. But wait, let me tell you, in the movie, in the Sulego movie, I have that line, go big or go home, before the guy presses the red button.
There you go. This was meant to be.
I can't believe you said that. That's really, wow.
It's a sign from above.
It's a sign from the universe.
Absolutely. But there are so many possibilities that you can do with this. And like I said, if you have an open screening, Call it a premiere if you want to, and say the cast will be here. If you want autographs, they will be happy to sign autographs. We will have hors d'oeuvres or whatever you want, and the, you know, the bar will be here. You have a cash bar, and we'll have the screening and have a party. Have an after party.
Yeah. Wow, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Like I said, go big or go home. This much thought that you've put into this movie, and with two more behind it, you want to have that interest of the people ready to come see the second one. And remember, Allison, this is all about you.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, go big or go home.
Wait till you see Solego too. Like, you'll be like, wow, I just said that.
See? And you're fixing
yeah.
you and think about this. Think about this. You make that first movie, an open screening at the tavern, and it's successful. You have a place for all of your open screenings for the rest of your movies, especially the Mercy Love pictures.
Yeah.
And you've already developed a rapport with a tavern owner, and he's developed a rapport with you, and it's a win-win.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. I'm just picturing that whole thing. My mind is just blown.
I see it being great.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I see it happening.
I'm envisioning it. Yeah.
Yep. And it will happen. You just got to get your editor off his duff. Give him a deadline. This is your
I know the editor. That's the only one who's holding it back.
Yep, so you give him a drop-dead date and say, this is what my plans are and this is what I'm doing. And if you can't fulfill this, then I'm yanking it back and going someplace else.
Yeah.
So deal with it. Now.
Yeah.
Go big or go home. Go big or go home. Exactly. Live it. Breathe it. Sleep it. Eat
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Wrap it around
yeah.
you. Go big or go home. Because when you think in a tiny box, that's as far as you get. I have no box.
Yeah.
I don't believe in boxes.
Me neither. And that's when I was talking about people in boxes, right? And then when you come out of the box, it's like, holy, there's all this. Whoa.
There's all this universe and all this fun
stuff.
So now you have your assignment from now to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And you know we're friends on Facebook, so I'll keep up with you.
Okay.
You got to do this. I'm counting because see, then I can bring you back on the show and we can talk about the screening and how wonderful it was and what's next and where it's going to be and all kinds of good stuff will follow.
That sounds good.
Okay.
Oh,
now,
I feel so much better.
Absolutely.
It feels good.
Would you believe our hour is almost up?
No.
Yeah. So Before we have to say goodbye, tell the folks where you can be found, because I know there's probably some folks that would like to get in on and maybe help fund this and get in on this journey, because you always need funding.
Mm-hmm.
So tell people where you can be found so they can hunt you up.
You mean like my Facebook or?
Facebook, yeah. Your blog if you have one. Anywhere you can
I don't
be found
have a blog.
So they can. Oh, you
well, mainly one. Facebook, like Allison Knight, A-L-L-I-S-O-N, Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T. That's my Facebook. That's mainly where I'm always on there. I think I'm addicted to Facebook, actually. I am. I'm on there morning, noon, and night. I wake up and I go on Facebook. So
I understand that.
Yeah.
Well, that's where I do a lot of my marketing, too. Now, let me ask you this. If someone came up to you and said, Allison, you're living your dream, how would I go about living mine? What would you tell them?
Just go for it. Just like you said, go big or go home. Now I'm stuck on that. I'm really stuck on that now.
Put it on your refrigerator.
I'm going to put it on my mirror in my bathroom. I'm going to put it on my
Exactly.
I'm going to put it
because
in my bedroom. Just go for it.
The whole world, Allison, is made up of dreamers. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Dreamers are the reason we have film. Dreamers are the
yes.
reason that we have music.
Yes.
Dreamers are the reason we went to the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Dreamers are the reason we have travel.
Yes. Yeah, the airplane.
Airplanes Brains. And technology and
yep.
cell dreamers phones. Are the telephones. Dreamers are the reason that people came to America and the colonies and to Canada and all the other
yep.
places that people have moved to and traversed to. And without dreams, you and I would not be having this conversation. Because
no,
now
we would not.
I hear the excitement in your voice. You have a roadmap. Now
mm-hmm.
you know where your journey is going to take you, and as we're prone to say, go big or go home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know what you've got to do to make it real.
Yeah. Well, now I'm lit under my butt. I was more stressed, and stress doesn't really motivate you. Stress is not a motivator.
No,
I don't
it is
think.
Not.
It's
Excitement
not.
Is a motivator.
Yeah.
Excitement and a plan and
yeah.
forward thinking and
yeah.
thinking out of the box. And
mm-hmm.
I'm going to set deadlines because I'm doing this next. And
mm-hmm.
it's not stress, it's a plan. And you've got this.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for you.
Me too. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the
mm-hmm.
hour flew by. So, ladies and gentlemen, I say this at the end of every show because I believe this with all of my heart. I am successful because of my brother who is retarded. And my brother taught me more than I would ever teach him. And that is, failure is never an option. And never take the answer no. And you never know what the answer to a question is if you don't ask the question. So those three things I live by. Failure is never an option. I always want the answer to the question, so I ask the question, and the answer is never no. I don't take no. I took no too many years when they told me I couldn't. And because everybody told me no, I want to thank them now because I am so successful, and I am successful because I can be. And it's just like Allison and I have been talking. If you want it bad enough, you will find a way. And stress is not the answer. You make it fun. You have a plan. You have a goal. You do forward thinking. And you set deadlines. Would that be a fair statement, Allison?
Yes, definitely. Yes.
Because now Allison's all excited. Because now she sees Halloween. Halloween
yeah.
would be the perfect night to release the movie. And it's because we're dreamers, ladies and gentlemen. We're dreamers. We see things. I cannot stress enough how important it is to not only be a dreamer, but find a way to make that dream real. My brother didn't want to be a janitor anymore. He wanted to be a stock boy. So when he went and interviewed for his job at Publix, he told the man, I'm not going to be a janitor. And the manager said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a stock boy. Guess what my brother did for 20-some-odd years? He was a stock boy. Now, my brother can barely read or write, but he was a stock boy because he made his dream. He didn't take no for an answer, and he didn't know the answer to the question till he asked it, and no was not an option. So, ladies and gentlemen, understand this. Don't be that person that when you're lying there on your deathbed and someone comes up to you and says, not regrets, and you say, well, I shoulda, woulda, coulda, because by then it's too late. And maybe, Allison, some of those bad entities are the ones that are having regrets and want to come back and live their dream again. Too late.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do it. It's over. Go away. So you got to do it while you're here, ladies and gentlemen. Even if you come back in another body, even if your spirit is fortunate enough to be reborn, you won't have the same dream. It'll be a different
mm-hmm.
dream, trust me. So while you're here, if your child wants to be a garbage collector, if your child wants to be a scientist, if your child wants to be a ballet dancer, if your child wants to be a musician, if your child wants to be a mother, if your child wants to be a nursery attendant, whatever that child wants to do, encourage that child.
Mm-hmm.
Do not tell that child they can't, because
mm-hmm.
they can't. And every child has a purpose, whether they're unique or not, they have a purpose. Allison, I want to thank you so, so much, my dear. You made my night. You got me fired up. Thank you for spending an hour of your time with me. The hour flew by.
Thank you very much.
Boom, it's gone.
Thank you.
So I will not have a show tomorrow night, ladies and gentlemen. Join me on Wednesday night here at Off the Chain at 8 o'clock with my guests, and I forgot who they are, but they'll be here. So we are now off the air, but what I'm going to do, Allison, when we get off the air, when we hang up, the show will upload into archives, and when it gets uploaded, I'm going to put it on my page, and I'm going to tag you in it.
Okay.
I want you to take that show, and I want you to spread it all over creation. Send it to everybody you know. And then tomorrow, I will put it up on 5 or 6 different podcasts, and I will tag you in those podcasts, because this show is heard on iTunes. It is heard on TuneIn Radio. It is heard on FM.com. It is heard on Stitcher, on YouTube, on Podcast.com, Podcast Garden, Podomatic, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. Plus the Blog Talk Radio. So you're going to get a lot of exposure.
Awesome.
And I want to see you say, we are having a premiere on October 31st at 8 p.m. at whatever the name of the tavern is.
Okay.
That's your deadline. Boom.
Yes. Yes.
You're busy.
I will.
Thank you, my sweet darling. And I will hook
you
up with Di Auger. I'll send you their email pages. And Cypher, my contact person is Jason Norwood, Matthew Elliott, and I can't remember, there's three of them. Jason Norwood is the one that I talk to the most. And Di Auger, I will hook you up with them too, and then you get a relationship with them because you'll love their music. And I will also send you the archived links for their shows that I did so you can hear their music.
Okay, that's where I can hear the music, on the archives?
Yes. Yes, ma'am,
okay,
because you'll
great.
Hear me interview them, and then I'll play their music, and we'll talk about their music. They're both two-hour shows, so you can listen to them at will. But what I do is I play their music at the opening, and then I interview them for a little while, and then I'll play a song, and we'll talk about the song, and then it's in between interview and music. I do both, and that way you get a feel of why they did the song and what led them to it and explain the song a little bit.
Okay.
You'll love
Sounds
it.
Good.
All right.
I can't wait.
I can't wait to send you all this information.
I can't wait to get it.
Well, let's get off of here and I'll get it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
very
honey.
Much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.
There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.